green, alert, 654 Jose, okay, on nothing.
Welcome to Third and Eight here on Next Door Radio, brought to you by Vanco Outdoor Power Equipment. Here's your host, Brandon Adcock.
Hey guys, welcome back here to Third and Eight. It's all settled, man. It's the Final Four. It's the big boys of the NFL. And if I was Roger Goodell, I'm the happiest man on earth, man. I got Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen in the Final Four. Huge weekend, man. The NFL playoffs. Chris, how you doing, man?
I am doing okay, sir. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right, man. Hey, guys. Though, our co-host, Jason, he's a little bit under the weather, you guys. You know, keep me your thoughts and prayers. Hopefully, he'll be back with us next week. Don't have somebody fun to argue with and hopefully I can tell him he's wrong on there next week.
I'm going to do my best just to fill in where I can, but we all know I am not a football person.
So. Yeah, I've been teaching you, man. Hey, me and Jason have been working with you this weekend.
We had a heck of a time going through some game stuff today. We were throwing out phrases and all sorts of stuff, trying to figure out what stuff meant. Hey, do you remember I appreciate that, though, man.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm trying to do my best. Do you remember what an empty backfield is?
When the backfield's empty.
Yeah, but who? Well, that's true. Yeah, but who's the only guy back there in the backfield though? If it's empty backfield,
I have no idea.
Yes, the quarterback.
Okay. See, and well, I was trying to ask you more questions today because I was afraid if I asked Jason, I'd just get something
wrong.
So I was just
that's messed up. You shouldn't do it like that, man. You're here to defend yourself, but that's the fun part. Yeah, but it would start off though with Saturday's early game, man. It was the Rams and the Packers. And yeah, but as I said on our podcast on 3rd and 8, find us on Anchor and Spotify and iTunes and all that good stuff. It was a matchup of the Aarons, man, and one Aaron was, you know, twice as good as the other one on Saturday. Though Aaron Rodgers had a big day throwing for, you know, a couple of touchdowns, and Aaron Donald, you know, he had some injury issues last week in the game, and he never really was on the field enough to make an impact. And the Rams having the best defense in football, and honestly, he showed how much he was worth. You know, no, because on Saturday when Aaron Donald, you know, he was on the sidelines, they absolutely got shredded in the run game. Aaron Jones had 99 yards. Now the Jamal Williams averaged 5.5 yards a carry, man. And Chris, you know, they averaging over 4 yards a carry is a huge deal. Then when Aaron Jones averaged 7 and Jamal Williams averaged 5.5. Aaron Donald being on the sideline, man, that made a huge difference in that game. And honestly, Jalen Ramsey coming in, he's the best corner of football, and he thought he would have a better day than what he had. But, hey, man, the Devontae Adams was prime time this year. He had 9 catches on 10 targets and a touchdown. It's hard to beat that, man. And Jalen Ramsey is obviously the best, you know, hey, pure cornerback in football. I don't think a lot of people are going to argue that. But, you know, hey, Devontae Adams showed up on Saturday, man, and he had his lunch pail, his hard hat, and his, you know what I'm saying, his work belt on. He was ready to go, man. He was race ready.
Job.
Yeah, he was race ready, as they like to say around, you know. Out of my job, man. This loss, though, cannot be pinned on Jared Goff. He didn't turn the ball over. He took a couple bad sacks, man, but Goff had just had thumb surgery. He's not really a mobile guy, no way. But
so I remember hearing about this thumb surgery. There was question if he was or was not going to play this game, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because he didn't start the last game. His backup, John Wofford, started last game. Then, you know, he had to come in early in the first quarter, though, because Wofford had got hit and got hurt. But he started this game, man. And, I mean, he come out firing, man. I mean, he played well. And if you're a Rams fan going into next year, you're like, okay, Goff's coming back. Obviously, McVay's coming back. You know, hey, Aaron Donald is going to be healthy, hopefully. Hopefully, he's okay. But, man, that's a tough loss. But, yeah, man, moving on, man. The Bills, man. And coming into this one, man, I thought Baltimore was going to have the heads up on the game as far as being able to just hold on to the ball and run it down Buffalo's throat. But it was rough, man. You know, had Lamar Jackson had a bad injury in that game, Chris, and he was just sprawled out, spread eagle style into the end zone, and he came out, you know, had a concussion. But – you know, honestly, though, Justin Tucker had the 2 missed field goals. You know, usually he is honestly the best kicker in football, usually hands down, Chris. And he just shanked them. Me and you were sitting there watching the flags in Buffalo, yeah. And that wind was just whipping.
The wind was atrocious. I mean, they were talking about how much the wind was affecting the passing game and
the snaps and everything. Yeah, yeah, I mean, it was nuts.
And it looked. I don't think they ever said how fast the wind was blowing, but I mean, you could look at the uprights, the flags they had above the field itself. It looked downright cold.
Yeah, I mean that's Buffalo for you. I mean,
for real.
Justin Tucker missed those 2 kicks, man, and. Yeah, but though Lamar Jackson had that 101-yard interception in the end zone, and that kind of put him back where, you know, he had a little bit of momentum and they were driving, and he throws a really bad interception. I mean, he's a young quarterback. He's 24 years old. It's what they do. It's nothing to sneeze at. It's nothing to be like, oh, my God, he choked away a playoff game. He's 24. Sure. He's made the playoffs every year he's been in the league. He'll be back.
Just a bad time for it to happen, but sure.
Yeah, yeah, a very inopportune time, though, for that, you know, a particular interception. That's how
it typically goes, though.
It never fails, does it? Granted, it's never a good time, though, for red zone interceptions, but that time in particular was really bad. And so that big swing, though, having Tucker miss, you know, hey, those two field goals and take those points off the board and having them drive down and getting, you know, and having a scoring opportunity and it just being a touchdown the other way, you know, he kind of took the wind out of him, you know, hey, per se, as far as, you know, how the game goes. But yeah, but after Lamar Jackson injured, that a rookie Tyler Huntley out of Utah come in and, you know, I mean, he didn't play great. I mean, he played as well as a rookie who was, you know, he jumped into a playoff game. He played as good as you could have really expected.
Yeah.
He missed one throw to Marquise Brown that Jackson, honestly, you know, he would have probably hit. The Browns, their speedster receiver, and he just blew by the safety in the DB, and he was just dust, and the kid overthrew him, and he kind of put his hand in the sub, and I was like, look, man, I hate he missed it, but he's a rookie quarterback that was just making his first playoff game. You know, yeah. He hadn't played a ton at all year long, and honestly, he comes in a bad spot, and the fan base is like, you know, he looks good, and honestly, if you're going forward as a Baltimore fan, he's a perfect compliment, you know, as far as, you know, hey, backup sort of Lamar Jackson goes, he's about the same size, he's a little bit bigger. And he's got a really good arm. He's not very accurate, but he's young. But it's okay. It's not the end of the world. Obviously, he's a rookie quarterback, and he'll come around. But going forward, if you're a Baltimore fan, you got to get him some help at wide receiver. He has no help. I mean, he's got Mark Andrews, who's a top five tight end. But having Marquise Brown as Snead as your 1 and 2 is not going to do really well in the NFL. And honestly, he needs, you know, a Kelvin Benjamin-type target. And I'm going to go back to what I said earlier during the year about him being – yeah, like a Cam Newton-type passer where he needs, uh-huh. You know, hey, some bigger targets and frames. And 5'9 speed guys are not good, you know, for guys who are inaccurate. And that's why Mark Andrews is typically his leading target. He's as wide as a double wide and tall as a three-story house. It's easier to hit that target. And so hopefully going forward, you know, Baltimore's GM, the Ozzie Newsome, that will get him some guys in there who can help him. But, yeah, if you're a Baltimore fan, man, yeah, but that's rough right there in the indicator was going all the way up there to Buffalo and scoring 3 points.
Yeah, not knowing enough about football, I still know that sounds painful.
Yeah, definitely so. But Josh Allen, man, props to him. He's had a heck of a year. He's going to finish top three and honestly probably top two in the MVP race. But he got a Christmas present in the offseason in Diggs.
Dude, I saw an awesome tweet earlier today. Actually, it was yesterday. It was a picture of Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. And basically, what it said is, ladies, get you a man that looks at you the way Josh Allen looks at Stephon Diggs.
I'm telling you, he was looking at that man in that press conference like, I love you so much. And rightfully so, I would love Diggs too. He had 8 catches for 106 and a touchdown on 11 targets, man.
Well, and they said something about that basically being a budding friendship that they had really gotten along very well together and started to read each other well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, because in the offseason, you know, hey, everybody was like Josh Allen's wily and accurate. And in their defense, in the first, you know, hey, couple of years he was, but having Diggs come over there from Minnesota, I mean, he was, hey, number one in catches and number one in yardage in the whole NFL. It ain't like he could have done much better. He was the best. I mean
he did better than I could have.
Oh, for sure. But, yeah, man, though, but that friendship and them guys being, you know what I'm saying, as young as they are, Diggs at 27 and Josh a little bit younger than him. If I'm a Buffalo fan, honestly, having a 1-2 combination going forward, that is a huge deal, though. But you got to get that man a running back. He can't be his own running back, you know, and beat the quarterback.
I know that much.
Yeah. Listen, I'm no smart man about football, but that much, he can't play two positions.
Yeah, two positions one time seems a bit difficult.
Strangely enough, he's been doing it all year long. That's the bad part is that Allen, usually on run plays, man, he's his team's best option, and that's what they got to get going forward, you know. Wow. Yeah, it's bad. Having Tyler Croft, the tight end, has been pretty helpful. Yeah, but, you know, having Cole Beasley come over from Dallas, too, that was a huge pickup for them. And Cole Beasley is known as more of a route runner. And him and Diggs kind of complement each other with Diggs is going 80 yards deep, and Cole Beasley's going to hit you for 5 or 10 yards at a time. And having that complement there between those two and Josh Allen is big. And as I said, you know, having Tyler Croft at tight end, he needs a running back, man. And that offense is going to be, I ain't going to say, you know, hey, Kansas City Chief-like, but then it's going to be like Kansas City Chief-light. So fair, it's going to be, yeah, like very explosive, you know, huge deal for them. But, yeah, but if you're a Bills fan, man, I'm happy for y'all, kind of, you know. I don't know if you noticed this over there, not the side of the playoffs 2 weeks ago. And I was kind of upset about that being a Colts fan.
Just a skosh.
That's probably a nice way to put it. Yeah, I was rather upset about that, man. But, yeah, but props to you, Buffalo, man, and props to you, Green Bay. Hopefully going forward, you know, Green Bay, if I'm looking at those two teams going forward, it sounds crazy to say that Buffalo, though, is a team I'm higher on just because of how old the quarterbacks are.
Right.
You know, Aaron Rodgers is getting up there in age. Hey, as you pointed out yesterday, he is as old as he looks. I mean, that's what you asked me. He is not aged the same way Tom Brady has aged.
Well, no, like when you were talking about Stephon Diggs, like I had no idea he was 27. I mean, he looks younger than that. I thought he's like 23, 24.
Yeah. He looks super young.
Yeah. I mean, but not the same way Tom Brady looks strangely young.
I'm almost certain Tom Brady's a vampire. Like, I ain't sure if you can take me to court on that one, but something is going, like, nobody ages like that.
I mean, I want to, but it's not going to happen.
I haven't already, and I'm not even hit 30 yet. Like, nobody ages like that. Doing Aaron Rodgers at 37 and Josh Allen being a decade and some change younger than him, man. Though, if you're going forward, man, the Buffalo fans, y'all got a lot to be excited about. Packers fans are going to have their hands full next week though, with Tom Brady coming to town.
Now, wasn't there something, there was a player that got hurt in one of the games on Saturday?
Yeah.
And after that game, there was like a charity that got...
Yeah, though Lamar Jackson got hurt, and Bills fans that were donating to his charity.
I saw something about that.
That is so dope, man. Like, okay, the Bills fans have this weird thing. That's
super cool as a support, you know, for your team.
And, like, I saw something afterwards, though, where, like, the Lamar Jackson was leaving the stadium, and a bunch of Buffalo fans that were crowded around a plane. There was, like, a fence block off, and they were crowded around and screaming, hey, I want your autograph. Dude just had a concussion. His team just got knocked out of the playoffs. His season's done. And his opposing team's fans are asking him for his autograph.
Yeah.
He hands his luggage to somebody else and walks over there and gives him his autograph.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That is, I don't care if you like Lamar Jackson or not. I don't care if he's, you know, hey, not your type of quarterback or not. That's 100% the professionalism.
Yeah, that's
you cannot deny that in any, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You cannot deny that in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Huge props to Lamar Jackson, man. And going forward, you know what I'm saying? No, and as I said in our podcast on 3rd and 8, he's the youngest who ever won the Heisman. He's the youngest who ever won MVP in the NFL. He's the youngest who's ever won a playoff game. Yeah, and started a playoff game. He's nice. Going to be okay after this loss, I promise you.
Well, and as you know, I am on the hunt for a team to support. Yeah. And I'm not sure where I fall yet. We originally thought maybe the Seahawks. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
There's a couple in the running for that. I am interested in the Washington football team, whatever they're calling themselves.
I'm trying to warn you, just stay away from the heartbreak. You've seen how sad Jason looked on Sunday. Stay away.
Yeah.
His hair is falling out. Just stay away.
Looking at the Saints.
Love you.
But yeah, I want a team that's got some heart there. It's not good enough just to be top dog and win and be big and bad about it. I want to see a team that's got some heart there, and that's awesome to see a player out there like that. That kind of draws me towards something like that. Yeah. But
and I think it speaks volumes too that his opposing fan base, the same team who just knocked out, was like, hey man, sorry about your injury. Hey, donate to his charity.
Yeah,
who does that?
Yeah, awesome people. I'm totally on board with that.
Yeah, hey Bills fans, y'all. Hey, man, props to y'all, man. I'm upset, you know, hey, y'all kicked us out, man, but that's truly 100% classy though, by you guys. 100% classy.
All right, so when we come back, we're going to cover Sunday's games.
Absolutely.
And talk about some concussions and other stuff, and then we're going to talk about some food at Over the Falls.
Absolutely.
We're going dice right, ice cream, alert. 654 Jose, okay,
on nothing. Welcome back to 3rd and 8 here on Next Door Radio, brought to you by Vanco Outdoor Power Equipment. Let's get back to the show with your host, Brandon Adcock.
Hey guys, welcome back to the 3rd and 8, and now we're going to talk about the saddest part of the NFL weekend and the injury to Pat Mahomes.
For sure.
Ah, man, that was a rough-looking tackle, wasn't it, Chris?
Dude, I had to even ask how that was a legal tackle because it just looked like something you would not want to allow as a legal tackle.
Yeah, I have a lot of beef about that play, and I'm going to start with Andy Reid as the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. You have Le'Veon Bell. You have Tyreek Hill, who can play some running back in spots. You've got Damian Williams. Why are you running your $500 million quarterback on an option play? Andy Reid, you're the smartest coach in football sometimes, but sometimes you do stuff where I just don't understand.
So is there any chance, I mean, I get that, right? But is there any chance that Pat just saw an opportunity and went for it? Or do you think that was a legitimate call made by the coach?
That's tough to say, though, but I think it was a call, though, by Andy Reid.
So at that point, so if I'm Pat Mahomes, all right, okay. and I make that decision myself, and I'm like, I might have screwed up. That's one thing. But if it's you put me in harm's way when there were other opportunities, I'm gonna be upset.
Yeah, me and you gonna have a problem. Now, if you're Andy Reid, man, that play in my playbook is gone. It's off the etch and sketch. It's off the Waffle House menu in Andy Reid's hand. Don't look at that play no more. That play no longer exists.
And I mean,
in that Kansas City Chiefs playbook, if I was Andy Reid,
I saw some stuff on Twitter because I was actually keeping up with Twitter pretty heavily after that incident because I really wanted to legit see if the guy was seriously hurt.
Yeah,
because when he stood up,
boy, he looked rough.
If you call that standing up, I mean,
yeah, he stood up and kind of took the.
If you've ever seen a baby deer, right after birth or a calf. Right, try to get up and walk. That's what Pat Mahomes looked like, and
he just looks like my legs after leg day.
Yeah, and I mean he was glazed over in the eyes. I think the commentators even made a comment about it. It was sad to watch. I mean,
it was kind of scary.
Yeah, but you know they took him into the tent. That was the second time he'd been in the tent.
Yeah,
at that point, the first time was for some sort of toe injury.
Yeah, his left big toe.
Yeah, So I was watching Twitter after all that, since that was the second time he'd been in the blue tent, and I did not know what a blue tent was. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Some of the folks were saying that they don't understand why that play exists at all. Why would you ever risk a quarterback in that way?
Not that quarterback.
But at the same time, that was when the other half of me went, okay, but what if Mahomes just saw an opportunity and went for it? What if that wasn't the initial play call? So I don't know. Maybe there's something out there, and maybe they said something in the post-game press conference, but I don't know if that was the coach's call or if that was Pat's call, but I do agree there's a different response from Pat Mahomes.
Oh,
if I'm Pat Mahomes, a different response depending on which of the two situations occurred.
Yeah, the coach Andy had to come see me Monday morning at 8 o'clock and he called that play and I had to run and it got hurt.
Yeah.
Now, like you said, though, the tackle wasn't dirty.
Right.
It looked worse than what it was.
It looked dirty.
It was frowned upon, as they say.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't illegal. No flag was thrown.
Right.
It's more one of them, you don't do that.
Yeah, and it looked more, I mean, again, I've not seen whiplash or a concussion before, but it looked, based on the fact that his head really didn't hit the ground or anything, it looked more like some sort of whiplash or something. Yep. But they do have him under a concussion protocol. They said that he had passed all the stuff he needed to pass for the evening to be cleared, but... that I guess it's going to be a pretty decent week. I don't know what the concussion protocol looks like, but
I don't know how to explain that.
But it sounds like there's a lot of hurdles to go over, so to speak.
A ton of them.
Before he can potentially play
next weekend. Oh, for sure. Yeah, but the next biggest story to come out of this game, I mean, you saw this live, and it's one of the things where it's like, Chris, I don't know how to explain this rule to you, but this is how the NFL calls it, is when the dude off the Browns was diving into the end zone.
Uh-huh.
And the dude took his helmet, which he should have got ejected for, and put his helmet on the dude's shoulder.
He led with his head.
And we've seen that twice this weekend, and it was called or something.
Yeah.
This one was like, it's okay. You're a chief. But I digress. He led with his helmet. He knocked the ball out of bounds. It crosses over into the pylon, hits the end zone, and rolls out of bounds.
Yeah.
And the Chiefs will get the ball back.
Yeah.
I hate that rule. There is no reason, though, for that rule to be in place. So nobody has the possession of the ball. Nobody recovers it. I don't understand how the offense just doesn't, get it back at the 20-yard line and have to go score.
Yeah, how does that not count as an incomplete pass?
That's because he had possession of it. He made a football move, as
so
I was telling you about earlier.
A technical fumble then at that point? Is that what
is? Okay. Absolute fumble.
Okay, so that's why they got the ball back? Is that – I mean, although nobody really touched the ball after that, that's why Kansas City got the ball after that?
See, here's why I hate that rule, right?
Okay.
And so, though, if he fumbles at the 5-yard line and it goes out of bounds, hey, what happens, Chris?
If he fumbles at the 5-yard line and
it goes
out of bounds?
The Browns get the ball back at the 5-yard line. So, if he fumbles into the end zone, the Chiefs get the ball back?
And I don't understand. Does it matter which down they're on?
No.
Okay.
I don't understand the rule. You know, honestly, first of all, it's kind of the wide receiver's fault. Don't dive like that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't.
I get it.
They should have called that for sure.
Yeah. I respect it. You know what I'm saying? They're laying your life on the line. You know, as they say, especially in the playoffs, if you lose, it's over. But you don't make that dive. And honestly, if you're an official, you got to see he led with his helmet.
Right.
I actually posted a picture, though, in our group on 3rd and 8 on Facebook. They'll find us there where you literally saw his helmet. I mean, he looked like a missile.
Yeah, I was going to say like a bullet. Yeah, yes, exactly.
Like straight up helmet first, yeah, leaning in, and it wasn't called. It just flat out wasn't called.
His shoulders drawn back a little bit. Like I'm saying, he extended his neck.
Yeah, like he knew what was coming, man.
And you know, and that occurred before the Pat Mahomes injury.
Yeah,
And something I saw that I definitely didn't like was that folks on other teams were looking at that and they were saying, well, you know what, this is kind of payback for the call that you guys didn't get for leading with your head on that one play that we were just talking about.
That's not
I have a problem with that. That's
that's not how karma works.
No, period. That's not how sportsmanship should be displayed in any sport. But especially,
you would be surprised at the stuff sports fans and athletes say.
But for somebody to get hurt,
Chris, I'm telling you, you would be appalled and just upset by what people would say.
I mean, I'll give you some jokes or some little jabs, right? But legitimately, I mean, if somebody is physically hurt,
yeah, nobody got hurt on that Chiefs play.
I'm sorry,
yeah. Like nobody
could have gotten hurt.
Yeah, oh for sure. Didn't. Yeah, but you know, hey, Pat Mahomes getting hurt, it's not the karma, but Cleveland really cost themselves, you know what I'm saying, in that football game. But it's somebody I want to talk about, man. It's the game MVP to me.
All right.
Chad Henne.
I thought you were going to say Tom Brady. Go ahead.
The wrong game, and I hate you. No,
wrong,
man. Yeah. Chad Henne on that third down, man. It was a 3rd and 10, and Chad Henne is not known, you know, ever being exceptionally mobile, and he took off running.
Yeah.
And he was just a yard short. And I thought he had it. And the very next play, I told you, I was like, he's not going to hike the ball. He's going to try to get him off sides, and they're going to pull in and make him drive. And he, sure enough, they hiked the ball to run a little outplay.
Everybody.
I was shook. The whole defense was shook. I was like, they did it.
It worked out.
Andy Reid really hiked that ball with Chad Henne at quarterback and hit the flat with Tyreek Hill and stayed in bounds, and he scooted down to the ground. And I said, Chris, he really just did that.
Yeah. And the announcers were saying the same thing. They're like, we for sure thought they were going to try to get them to jump offside.
Yeah, because I was trying to explain to you, okay, this is what they're doing. He's probably just going to wind the clock down. You know, Cleveland's out of timeouts, and they're going to punt it and make them drive.
Home slice
the
whole field and squatted.
Stone.
Just sat right down.
Huge heart there by Andy Reid, man. And Chad Henne had to execute, man, the two biggest plays in the game where his, you know, 3rd and 10 scramble doing that 4th and 1 throw. And it's safe to say he's not going to be paying the Vanu food and drinks in Kansas City for a very long time.
And again, for a guy who doesn't know a lot about the backstory of a lot of these football games, Chad Henne has been in the NFL in some way, shape, or form for a while, correct?
I think over 10 years, yeah, okay. I think.
But he has not
been a playoff.
Well, he's not been with the Chiefs, but for how long?
A couple years.
Okay.
Yeah, so like a year or two, I think.
I thought there was something about he had just recently been signed on to do something with them as some sort of backup or whatnot. I thought that was relatively recent.
He may have been, but no, gotcha. I'm going to be honest with you. The Chiefs backup don't get a lot of play time because of who's in front of them. So I can't really, and so I can't really keep up with that situation.
He certainly came out and showed up, though.
Oh yeah, for sure. He come in and did exactly what he needed as a backup quarterback, though. And that's all that sometimes your backup needs to do, is just come in and not miss the game. Though, when I thought when Pat Mahomes got injured and Cleveland had a little bit of momentum, I was like, oh no, not the Browns in the playoffs again.
Yeah,
no Browns Bills AFC title game. And then here comes Chad Henne. He's like, nope, I got it. You know, going to the house. So congrats to you, Chiefs Nation. Well,
and I'll say one more thing before we go on to the next game.
I don't want to go to the next one, but go ahead.
All right, we ain't got to, man. We can just go straight to commercial break. And go.
I got to do it.
But no, it's, I was talking about looking for a team and looking for a team with heart. And something that really stood out to me because, to me, all right, if I'm looking at all these guys who are making millions of dollars a year and they're – For lack of any better term, they are trying to secure their spot, and it's like, this is my spot.
Yeah,
don't
sure.
take it. Right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
The reason Henne doesn't play while Pat's there, right?
Yeah, for sure.
What I would kind of feel like. But Pat Mahomes, after everything that happened, after he had been cleared and everything, after that game was over, he tweeted #. Anything can happen.
I love it.
With the gif of
not Kevin Garnett saying anything is possible. Yeah,
which I thought was absolutely awesome.
Yeah,
that was super cool. And supporting his teammate who was filling in for him not being there, didn't feel like any sort of concern of like, oh, this guy's trying to take my job. It was legit sportsmanship. And a teammate mentality or a team mentality, and I really appreciated that.
Oh yeah, they're definitely cool. Good to see that Pat Mahomes is very secure in his job.
Yeah.
very secure in his job.
Sure, but still.
But he understands that, you know, Chad Henne is the reason that they're in the, you know, AFC title game.
Like, thanks for picking it up.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah. But going on, man, I'm going to say this
one more. I was going to say, I tried to keep that one as long as possible, so that we could make this one short.
He done it again. Tom Brady has done it again. And it would not be a classic Tom Brady playoff win if his defense didn't lead him to it. Drew Brees, man, I hate to say it, he looked pitiful.
And they said he was going to retire, or he has rumored to be retiring.
He's already signed a deal with NBC to commentate. Okay. Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, hope I'm not wrong on that. I think he signed a deal though with NBC to commentate. Chris, if you could check that out, I appreciate it.
He looked heartbroken on the sidelines.
Man. Yeah, he looked like he was tearing up though about the 9-minute mark. You know, he knew the game was over.
Yeah.
The Saints absolutely cannot ever, you know, push the ball down the field in this game. Jameis Winston had like a third of Brees' yards on one pass. It's sad to see Drew Brees, you know, go out that way. And, you know, obviously not all greats get the, you know, hey, last ride into the sunset per se. Yeah. I still remember Brett Favre's last throw across his body against the Saints. There was a Minnesota Viking. And that ended his career, man. But seeing Brees to go out there with a couple interceptions, and it seemed like Father Time has caught up to him. Honestly, man, it was kind of sad to see. But you know who is an agent? That vampire Tom Brady, man. He threw for 199 and two touchdowns, and that's not an amazing stat line, though, but you don't have to do a whole lot, though, when your defense is getting you four turnovers, man. Though, when I thought the Saints, honestly, they were going to hang in there, Jared Cook had beat his man, though, Antoine Winfield, who's a rookie safety of Tampa Bay. He had beat him on a slant route, and Antoine Winfield just come up behind him and punched the ball clean out of his hands. And that was a turning point, though, into the game to me, man, and just – you know, Brees had a bad throw to Kamara going at the seam, and he never turned around, and Devin White just picked it off, and that's when he, you know, he walked down and sealed it going up 10. It was just ugly, man. And, I mean, honestly, dude, you know, at the start of the game, Deontay Harris had a big kick return, and then like a couple plays later, he had a punt return. He scored, and it was called back. Those are, you know, huge plays. Having a touchdown called back is big, but having a touchdown called back in a 10-point game where that could have been a little bit of, you know, yeah, like a kickstart, you know what I'm saying, for the offense was huge. Yeah. I hate to see Drew Brees go out that way, man.
So I've gone back and done a little
Michael Thomas had no catches.
Oh, wow.
And he's one of the top five receivers in football. He had no catches for no yards.
It was just a tough night. But I've been doing a little research while you've been talking, that, and I don't see anything about the story you were talking about. The only thing I see is a little bit earlier, there was a news story that came out on ESPN. They were saying that if Drew Brees retires, or will he be coming back for one last year? So, and this ends by saying, you know, Brees threw three interceptions in the loss to Tampa Bay. So they've got updated information on here. I don't see anything about him saying that he has, in fact, retired for sure. So maybe there's a couple options on the table, but it sounded – the look on his face –
that's their retirement.
And
like, I hate to say it.
Yeah,
I looked defeated. He looked like, you know, hey, Father Time, you know, and as I said, he just walked up to him and put the bear hug on him. And Father Time is undefeated.
You know, like, I take that back. There is an update that just came in. It says Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints fell to Tampa Bay 30-20 in the divisional round game. And it looks like Brees, quarterback Drew Brees, will retire after the last game of the 2021 NFL season, according to Jay Glazer of Fox Sports.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, everybody who watched that game, and I was in a group chat, there were a couple of guys talking about it, though. You can just look at his demeanor on the field. He had a couple of games, you know, hey, this year where, you know, he can still play, but being able to play and being able to, you know, hey, perform at a high level is two different things in the NFL. But as I said, man, it's sad to see Brees go out that way, man. Props to you, Tom Brady. I despise you. Heck of a player going into the Hall of Fame, man. I don't know how you keep doing it, but, you know, Aaron Rodgers is next week, man. And honestly, though, as an NFL fan, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers is the one matchup I've never gotten the playoffs. I've always won it.
Oh, wow.
It's coming Sunday.
Cool deal.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. When we get back, we are going to go over some head coaching changes.
Man, it's been a ton of them.
All right. Hang tight. We'll be right back.
Ice cream, alert, 654 Jose, okay, on nothing.
Welcome back to 3rd and 8 here on Next Door Radio, brought to you by Vanco Outdoor Power Equipment. Let's get back to the show with your host, Brandon Adcock.
Hey, guys, and welcome back to the 3rd and 8. Hey, Chris, I want to talk about something that
I have no clue about.
Yeah. Well, I ain't going to say
I'm going to try. How about that?
But I ain't going to say all that, man. I'm trying to teach you a little bit about the NFL coaching game, man. It's a constant carousel out there.
I would say a little bit is about as much as I got to give.
Well, I mean, it beats giving me nothing.
No, I'm doing my best, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it too, man. No problem. I'm sorry about it.
No problem.
But hey, blame Jason.
I do.
No, man, but one of my favorite college coaches is now a NFL head coach that we talked about on the podcast on Thursday night, where Urban Meyer is now the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay, and he is coming out of Ohio State?
Yes, sir. He's coming out of Ohio State. He also coached at Florida, and he was the coach at Utah.
Can I say something ago that might hurt your feelings a little bit? What? Just refreshing my memory. Were the Jaguars the ones that knocked the Colts out?
No, it was the Bills.
Okay. Whew, never mind. I feel better. I thought there was something about the Jaguars with y'all that was that earlier in the year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So in week one, Jacksonville had one win all year long, and they beat the Colts in week one.
I'm sorry.
That's why I got beef with Jacksonville.
Oh, gotcha. I knew there was something there. I couldn't remember what it was. All right. Yeah, sorry to bring up that, but I did want to rub just a skosh of salt. Carry on.
It's okay. Yeah, the wound was still fresh. We're good. You know, no problem. It was 5 months ago. I'm still hurt.
Hey, you know. Well, you want to talk about somebody else hurting? How about the Jets?
Oh, well, at least they're trying now.
Do they have a plan? Like, because I hear that. I don't know, again, enough, but I know I've heard enough to know that the Jets have had a very rough year.
Yeah.
Do they have a plan to correct said year?
They do.
Okay.
100%.
And that is?
Start with a new head coach.
Oh, I thought you was going to say a different name. Go ahead.
I hope they keep the Jets name. That's a classic one. Gang green, as they like to say. But they got a new head coach coming in.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to be good, man. He's the former defensive coordinator of the San Francisco 49ers.
Okay.
Who his whole defense got hurt last year, basically his top four linemen. You know, he had an injury of some sort because it's 2020 and everybody was getting knocked out. But
real,
he's going to come in, man, dude. And I think he's going to, you know, he turned that franchise around. I truly do.
And that is, if I remember correctly, now this is a name I'm going to try to not
butcher.
That's
I'm going to let you have a partner.
I appreciate that. That I know is my Robert limits. Saleh?
Yep.
Saleh?
Yep.
Robert Saleh.
Yep.
That's what we're going to go with.
Yep. He's the first Muslim head coach in NFL history, man. Props to you.
Okay. So he is coming in, and rumor is Sam Darnold.
He's keeping him.
He's keeping him. Okay.
Yeah, me and Jason have had a lot of back and forth on our podcast. I'm proud of you.
I try.
Hey, look at my son growing up on me.
Look at
us. No, but me and Jason have had a lot of back and forth on the podcast. Me and him have both said that we would, you know, he'd like to see Sam Darnold kept and have him just have a chance.
So then tell me, what is the issue with the Jets? And is it the coaching, or is it
Adam
the players,
Gase,
or is it all of the above?
It's the coach made the players worse, and the players, you know, he weren't great to begin with.
Gotcha. So they've got a team that maybe could do better if they were formed or trained a little better. But
yeah,
okay. So the team has a potential, but not under the leadership that they had. Is that what I'm hearing? Okay.
Yeah, sort of though, by saying just Adam Gase, he was terrible at his job. I don't like saying that about people. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? No, I'm not, you know what I'm saying? You know, he's very great at mine. I'm good at it. But Adam Gase was a terrible head coach in football, especially, you know, during his Jets season. But having, you know, hey, Robert come in, he's going to get that defense right. They're probably, you know, hey, give him a year or two. He's got to get his guys in there, his guys, you know, who wants to play in that cover three system that San Francisco likes to use a lot. But
so is Gase being moved somewhere, or is he just out
the building
out right now? So he's
moved
just
out the building. Just
okay.
He might be out of New York City altogether, though. Oh, if I was a Jets fan, he'd be out of New York altogether. I don't want to see you around the Bronx or nowhere.
Just, I mean, do you think he'll ever have another head coach job?
He shouldn't.
Wow.
The dude was horrendous.
That is a pretty strong stance.
Yeah, he was.
How many years
really
had he been a head coach?
He was the head coach. There was the Miami Dolphins head coach, and then the Jets saw how bad Miami was with him and was like, hey, let's hire that
we'll
guy.
We'll try it.
I don't understand it, but gotcha. Robert's going to come in, man, though, and he's going to change that franchise. I truly believe he's going to come in. There will be the leader of men that franchise needs, and he's going to get Darnold some help. Hopefully, though, with that number two pick, and the tackle, though, from Oregon is going to come in, though, and hopefully get some help in that offensive line, and he needs a running back as well. But having a head coach, having a quarterback, and have a little bit of the, you know, guy who could walk into a room, you know, honestly command respect of the locker room, though, is going to be a big thing, though, with the New York Jets.
So, and I was going to say, excuse me, with – with the Jets, there was a conversation earlier in the year that I know at least you and Jason and I had all kind of had about, were the Jets throwing this year to try to get a higher pick
to Trevor
in
Lawrence.
The draft?
Yeah.
Are you saying that is now not the case since he is out as head coach?
Yeah.
That this was just a poor season on their part?
I think it was some of both. I think that he was bad at his job, but I don't think that they were going to fire him until he was done, if that makes sense.
Gotcha.
Where it's like, you're bad enough to get us a high pick, and so we're going to keep you right number two. We get that high pick.
Gotcha.
Having the number two pick in the draft, and they missed out on number one, who's going to Jacksonville, and Urban Meyer, who, I'm sorry, guys, I don't care. I don't want to hear about Justin Fields or Zach Wilson or no other quarterback. It's going to be Trevor Lawrence. Just go ahead and, he put that in the envelope and just made it off. It's going to be Trevor Lawrence. So go ahead and put the stamp on it, but having a number two pick is nothing to sneeze at either. And, having a quarterback who he's keeping, having a number two pick, if somebody wants to move up and take a quarterback, honestly, though, they can get a king's ransom for it. And so that might be a smart move, is collect a few more picks and move back and get better players to help the whole team instead of just one huge pick that'll help one spot. If that makes any kind of sense to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right. So what else do we have out there? You said a carousel, so it sounds like there ought to be a whole nother slew of what's going on.
Yeah, it's a bunch of stuff, man. Though Dan Campbell, he's the assistant head coach of the New Orleans Saints, who went home last time. Unfortunately, he's being hired as the Lions head coach. Now, Dan Campbell is he's a former NFL player. He's a former tight end. That's a big dude.
Uh-huh.
I ain't sure, though, if you can Google a picture of him real fast and, hey, just get a picture of Dan Campbell in your memory. Uh-huh. He looks like the kind of guy I wouldn't want to run into in an alley at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
Like, or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's a big dude. He had a short stint, though, as the Miami Dolphins head interim coach a couple years ago. I don't think it was a good hire, though, by the head Detroit Lions. But you can almost say that about every Lions coach ever since the franchise, he was incepted, to be fair.
Okay, so Dan Campbell, if I'm looking at the right guy, looks like, and I don't know if you've ever seen the TV show Bones.
I have not.
He reminds me of, I'm going to butcher this as well, David Boreanaz. I'm not sure how you fully pronounce that, but
I'm not trying it.
He played Seeley Booth in Bones.
Okay.
And I'm a huge fan of the show, just cannot pronounce the man's real life name. But he played Seeley Booth. And he looks an awful lot like this Dan Campbell guy.
Oh, yeah, he does. Yeah, to slap some blonde hair on that man. He's an almost identical dude. But Dan Campbell's going in. He's going to have his work absolutely just cut out for him. Hopefully he can make it, man. But they got a quarterback in Matt Stafford that's kind of getting up there in age. He's, early 30s. He's got a franchise in the Lions who's been bad as long as I've been alive. I mean, that's not a joke. They're like
that's not a joke, but all right.
It's not. And the bad part is, though, is they had a really good coach in Jim Caldwell, who's a former coach of the Colts. But, honestly, it could be because I'm a little bit biased because he's a former coach, but he was a really good coach for them. He had them at 9-7, 8-8, though, in contending. And sometimes it's a bad franchise. All you need is just to be relevant. You don't need to win Super Bowls. Like, honestly, if I'm a Jets fan, though, we're 8-8 next year, I'm ecstatic. If I'm a Lions fan and we're 9-7, I'm thank you. At least we're relevant. At least we're not, he's 5-11 and 4-12 every year, but he's going to have his work to cut out for him, though, and he'll be there less than 2.5 years.
Mm, okay.
Bold prediction, but it's not a bold prediction. He'll be there less than 2.5 years. I don't think he's going to last long. I hope I'm wrong.
Okay, people not lasting long. Let's talk about this one. Deshaun Watson.
Oof.
How long has he been with the Texans?
Let's see, he was drafted in 2017, I want to say. He was the same draft as Pat Mahomes. Him,
or how long you think he intends to stay there?
Let me see. I say Wednesday morning. No. he's trying to get up out of there. And here's why. Eric, though, Bieniemy.
Uh-huh.
He's the offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay. I've heard this guy's name.
Yeah, he's been talked about in every coaching circle.
I don't know that he's been talked about in every coaching circle. I think he's been like interviewed by every coaching circle.
Yeah, me and Jason were talking about it. He's been interviewed by everybody and their mama. But, he's the offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs, who haven't been eliminated yet, so he can't formally be announced as head coach or anything. And Deshaun Watson was like, hey, just bring him in for an interview. No, I see what he's doing in Kansas City. He's got Mahomes playing well. That's what I need, though, is a good coach who I believe in.
So seeing as he's got Mahomes where he's at, and the team overall, right? I mean, we were talking earlier. You told squad. Me there were three star names just on the offensive line.
And so, the comment I made was is honestly, had that I didn't want to see, a Bills and Browns game in the AFC title game though, because they didn't have three stars combined in Myles Garrett, Diggs, and Allen. And the Chiefs got three on offense in Mahomes, Hill, and Kelsey.
Right.
That's a lot of star power on that team.
Right. And so since he's at such a team, why does he want to leave? But explain that one to me.
Yeah, I don't get it, but part of me does. Is he wants to be a head coach and have more involvement.
Okay.
I understand. You're like, if the gravy train is rolling, don't get off the train.
Right. I mean, and, okay, so he's at a great
he's in a beautiful position.
Right. And he's under, what's it, Andy Reid is the head coach
there?
Yeah,
Andy Reid.
How long do you think Andy Reid's got before he retires?
He's close to 70.
Okay,
he's not going to be around forever. So he's
Eric Bieniemy,
in mid-60s or so,
I think. If you're Eric Bieniemy, why aren't you hanging around for a little bit just to show you're willing to put forth some time and effort into this program and maybe go for that head coach position when that becomes open? Why would you not
that would be
go
interesting.
That route?
Yeah, that's
it's or is that maybe
route.
Too long? I mean, I don't
– like head
you never
coaches,
know,
head coaches that can coach a lot longer than players can play, obviously.
Sure, for sure.
Yeah.
Unless you're Tom Brady, apparently.
Oh, no. You snuck it in, didn't you? Snuck it in. I hate you. No, but honestly, that's a very good point. Going into Houston and, Adam Schefter, who's a lead reporter for ESPN, he come out and said that no head coaches want that Houston job. And it's because of Deshaun Watson wants out. He's their only player.
Oh, wow.
He's their best player. Like not just head, shoulders, torso, toes, and kneecaps.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, their best player. There's nobody on that roster who's a close second. There's not a 1B or 1A. There's Deshaun Watson, and you start at 11 and go with the rest of them. That's like, you're laughing. That is a true statement. J.J. Watt's a Hall of Fame guy. He's getting a little old. Deshaun Watson's prime time, and him trying to force his way out, man. Here's something I'm going to say, though, and some people just don't agree with it. I don't blame him, and here's why. If you are the franchise quarterback and they paid him as if he was a franchise quarterback, he's played as if he was a franchise quarterback, you should have a little bit of not the, a final say on coaches. No, but you should have input.
Sure.
With
as much involvement as you have in everything else.
You're the key to it. Right. If you don't play well, y'all go nowhere. And he was just upset that they didn't interview Eric.
Gotcha.
And I can't say I blame him.
Gotcha.
Now, like you said, if I'm, a Bieniemy, I'm like, I don't want to go to Houston because Watson's going to leave.
So let me ask this question. What if, if he interviews at all these places, doesn't get one or decides not to take one.
Okay.
And not knowing the politics of football.
Okay.
Will the Chiefs keep him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not like a betrayal type deal.
No. Honestly, most head coaches, Bill Belichick is known for this. He encourages his assistants to go interview.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, because the interview process, the NFL, from everything I've read and seen, are several hours long.
Okay.
Yeah, because they want to know how you would build the franchise or program up, how you would set up your staff, how you would set up your meetings, your workouts, how would you do your training camps, how would you do, your draft. Who would you want to come in and help you? Stuff like that. So having guys, go in and get that experience. If I knew I'm not going to, get the job and I get an interview, it's like, okay, I have that in my back pocket.
Right.
And so honestly, if you're Eric, Bieniemy, you take those interviews and that's why.
Gotcha. Okay.
Just in case a job, comes along and that you really want it. Okay. Just hypothetically speaking, if, I don't know if a job is going to come open, but let's say that the Cleveland Browns job, comes open in 3 years. And Mayfield's still there, and they're still going 10-6, 11-5. He's like, I want that job. He's already got, all the interview experience and everything else where, okay, he's good to go. But honestly, to Bieniemy, he's not even the most talented head coach on the market than me. I had the Eagles fired the Super Bowl winning head coach, Doug Peterson, earlier this week, or last week, rather. He's won a Super Bowl. He's proven in the league.
Right.
I think he should get a shot over Bieniemy.
Uh-huh.
And honestly, if you don't agree with it, that's fine. Honestly, I get it. The Bieniemy's had the highest scoring offense in the league the past couple of years, though, and I do think he's going to be a great head coach. But Doug Peterson has won a Super Bowl, and that's nothing to sneeze at. And, you know, had the Eagles had made a decision basically saying, you know, Carson Wentz is coming back and Doug Peterson had to go.
Well, you know, and if I understood you correctly earlier, anyway, it sounds like Adam Gase is available. So,
oh, boy.
If anywhere isn't looking.
Nowhere better be a calling. I know that. Yeah, but like I said, man, though, Doug Peterson's on the market. You know, hey, Eric's out there, you know, on the free market. There ain't but two jobs left, and that's the Eagles in Texas. And Deuce Staley, who's a former Eagles running back, is applying. Well, he's been interviewed, though, for their head coaching position. He would be a guy who I think there would be a, you know, a decent head coach in Canada, especially in the town he's beloved in.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that wraps that part up. And when we get back, we are going to go over, well, over the falls.
Yeah.
Where we had an awesome lunch. When we get back, we'll discuss over the falls and wrap up this week's show.
Alert, 654 Jose, okay, 1-0.
Welcome back to 3rd and 8 here on Next Door Radio, brought to you by Vanco Outdoor Power Equipment. It is our last segment of the show, Brandon. This is one we cover my favorite topic, the I know anything about, food.
This is when I hear your voice most on Mondays, and I love it.
I know, and that's where I like it to stay, so if we could work on that.
Yeah, but this week it's been special, man. I've enjoyed our time together.
I appreciate the coaching so that I would understand the coaching.
Absolutely. Anytime.
All right. So we went to an awesome place. You did a poll, I think, on
Facebook. Yeah, I just randomly asking our Facebook group if anybody have any recommendations for us.
And there were a couple of options. We ended up going to Over the Falls.
Yeah, Wake Forest.
And to be fair, from the outside, when we pulled up, I thought I was underdressed for the occasion.
All right, so full picture. Chris is in basketball shorts, a t-shirt, and some flip-flops.
I was comfortable is what I was.
Yeah, I'm in black shorts, the basketball shorts, and there's some New Balances in a Colt City. Everybody else in there was just clean out of church.
We're going with they were clean out of church. It did look like a very nice establishment, both inside and out.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Very
for
clean.
For sure, from the outside, it was like, oh, this may be a...
Me and you pulled up and be like, oh, boy.
Yeah, we might not be allowed to be seated. But they did seat us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Very nice staff. They have a heck of a menu. Front and back, I'd say, what's that, 11 by 17?
You looked at me and, because I had asked, you know, hey, you getting an appetizer? You were like, yeah, except it's a problem. I said, well, you was like, it's a hole in the menu on the back.
I had gone through the first section and I'd narrowed it down to like three. And I was like, all right, so I just got to find something out of this. And then I looked and either your son or my wife, one of the two, had a different menu in front of them. And I was like, something's not right here. Yeah. So I flipped mine over. I was like, ah, man. And half of it is salads on the other side, which I will point out. I heard an amazing phrase come out of your lips when you were looking this thing up online. You said, hey, look at these salads, which I didn't think I would ever hear. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm doing my best. Their salads did look good.
They did.
Granted, neither
one of us braved it and went for one.
No, I ain't crazy.
Not with the option we had in front of us.
Absolutely. I eat the stuff who eats salads. We're good.
For sure. So went in, though. Nice atmosphere again. Kind of what you expect for Wake Forest. They are in, what would you consider that, a strip mall kind of, I guess?
Yeah. And it's like a strip mall type.
Yeah, and they're kind of on the end section there. You want to start? How do you want to go with who ordered what? Because there was a lot of food ordered.
Shocker. It seems to be the case every time we go somewhere.
Five of us?
Yep. It was me and my girlfriend and my son and you and your wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
a lot of food.
Yeah. So you and your wife ordered the mozzarella sticks and me and my girlfriend got. So
and they were
so
delicious.
Here's a debate I've heard for years. I asked if they had any boneless wings.
Uh-huh.
Hey, did you hear her response?
I did. She said, we have tenders. At least that's what I think I heard.
That's 100% what you heard.
Okay, so it is what I heard.
Boneless wings,
right.
Tenders. You know, me and you are big boneless wings.
I don't
fan.
Think they are. I think tenders. I mean, tenders are literally breast tenderloin.
Okay.
It is a cut of meat. It is not boneless wings.
Okay, so at least we're on the same page. At least me and you are on the same page. Okay, but I digress.
Fair enough.
Those strips, tenders, or whatever you want to call them, they absolutely hit.
Whatever you want to call them, wings, tenders.
It was pork. Chicken breaded in cornmeal.
Yes.
And nice. I had never had that. I was a little bit like, in cornmeal.
I didn't realize it was cornmeal.
Absolute banger.
Yeah.
Tasted amazing.
It wasn't like overly breaded, wasn't underly breaded.
It was
breaded.
Crunchy. Beautiful it wasn't crunch. Heavy. It was a little sweet. It was a little salty. It was absolutely amazing.
Yeah. I want to try that at home now.
Yeah.
If
you can replicate that, I'll pay you. Yeah.
No. Well, I mean, like, what am I going to buy? Am I going to buy chicken tenders, or am I going to buy boneless wings? What do I buy to
stick
make
with
that?
What you know, I guess they'll go with the tennis for right now. Those seem to work out well.
Yeah, that was awesome. And you ordered two sauces. One was some sort of Asian.
Yeah, that's the one that you recommended. Uh-huh. And I got what was called a honey something buffalo.
Honey buffalo. That's
yeah,
exactly
honey
what
buffalo.
It was.
Okay, I'm
honey
sorry, buffalo. I was blanking out on the name there.
There wasn't a whole. I didn't get a lot of honey flavor out of it, but what I did get was a calmer buffalo.
Yeah.
I thought that was really good.
And how I described it was, hey, this is buffalo sauce, who wouldn't hurt a child? It was
fair.
It was buffalo sauce with no heat.
Yes.
That's how it was.
It was really good.
Yeah.
The Asian one had some sort of green onions were cut up and put on it, which really kind of complimented that. I really liked it. So I thought that was awesome. And that was just our appetizers. Yeah.
Hey, what did you get as far as your sandwiches? Yours looked more like a sub.
I want to say it was called a Midtowner.
Okay.
It was 6 ounces of prime, or not prime rib. My goodness, I'm sorry. It tasted like prime rib. It was amazing. 6 ounces of ribeye.
Okay.
I had it cooked medium rare. It was on a hoagie roll. There were caramelized red onions that had been caramelized in balsamic vinegar, which was awesome. And then I want to say provolone cheese and mayonnaise. It was an amazing sandwich. It wasn't a big sandwich.
Yeah.
It was the perfect amount of sandwich.
Really?
I thought it was great. I mean, like, I wasn't too full. Now, granted, we had also had chicken tenders.
Yeah.
and the cheese sticks. But I thought what we had was the perfect amount of food, because I'd looked at a pizza maybe to take home.
Yeah.
To bring back to eat for the game or whatever. And because some folks beside us had one that looked awesome.
It did.
But after that meal, I was kind of done for a while and didn't know when I'd be eating again. So the one thing that did come with it was chips.
Yeah.
Or
house-made chips.
House-made chips. Yep. And I really like house-made chips. The only thing I would say is they need to season those chips. I think you had fries, but your girlfriend had chips. I don't know what her thoughts were on it, but for sure, I thought they needed some sort of seasoning.
Yeah, but they give her, it was like a dipping sauce of some sort that would go with the chips. It was like barbecue ranch, I think. Hey, me and you both kind of come, to a conclusion on basically what it was.
I didn't think that's what it was for. I thought it was for her quesadilla thing that she had.
Hers was like a barbecue chicken quesadilla or something.
Yeah, it worked with the chips. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, absolutely did. Yeah.
But I don't normally expect to get chips and dip them in something, not like that at least. Yeah, not in some sort
not
of
house
sauce.
Made chips, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
So, yeah, I would like to see them seasoned. Like, they didn't even have salt on them, best I could tell. They were just sliced potatoes put in oil. But I'd like to see a little more flavor on those. But by far, the entree itself, on point.
Yeah.
I easily give that an 8.5 for the sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
And you ended up getting some sort of beautiful burger.
Yeah, it was like a barbecue bacon burger on sourdough bread. It was really good.
That's what that was. I didn't realize it was sourdough.
I didn't realize it'd be as big as it was. It didn't look heavy.
Uh-huh.
Now, obviously, it was like 12:30 though, and hadn't eaten, so I was hungry. And they brought it in. I'm like, I don't know if this burger's going to honestly be enough.
Yeah.
It was more than
enough. It kind of swelled up on you.
It did. It snuck up on me, though. That patty was at least, 2 inches thick in the middle.
Yeah. And we got some pictures we're going to be posting, right? Yep.
It was very good. Towards the end of the sourdough bread, all the burger was gone. And it was just a crap ton of cheese, onions, and barbecue sauce and bacon. That could be a sandwich by itself, and it would have been good.
It
and no burger
delicious.
Included.
I didn't get off any of yours, but it sounds amazing.
Yeah, but I didn't get offered none of yours. What's
you
your
didn't
point?
Ask.
That is fair. And next time, we just do the halvesy swap. It's just to cut it in half.
Now, you had the fries. How were the fries?
Yeah, they were pretty good fries.
They came in a really cool little metal container thing.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's so nice to me, just because it's not thrown all over your plate.
Right.
And fries
had
have
kind
a
of a Red Robin feel.
Yeah. Hey, fries have a tendency to just be like, here you go. Whop, here's a bucket of fries, right. Made Chrysler. And going about your day. But my son had a chicken quesadilla, and I may or may not have took a portion of his. He didn't want it.
Uh-huh.
It was really good.
It looked like it was. And, I mean, he ate. It wasn't that he didn't eat it because he didn't want it, right? He was getting
it. It was a rather large quesadilla. He had the two end pieces, which I don't know why he takes those every time. They're the smallest two and the crunchiest two. then I pack with cheese. But he takes them anyway. I don't argue with him.
Yeah, they're the pieces I throw away.
Thank you. Give me the middle one. Right. He had the 2 inch pieces and one of the middle ones. I had the middle one. And honestly, that was a really good quesadilla. Like, nothing that was, you know, hey, blew me out of the water. No, but I would definitely get one, though. If I went back and wanted one, there was definitely something I would order off the menu for sure.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, your girlfriend ordered some sort of, was it barbecue chicken quesadilla?
Yeah, it was a barbecue.
That was an even bigger quesadilla.
That one, honestly, was the size of like an average calzone.
Yeah, it was half the plate folded over.
Yeah, yeah, hey, that was a big boy.
Yeah, and it looked awesome. I think she ended up having some to take back as well. Yep. Decent amounts of food. My wife had a mushroom and Swiss, I think, burger.
Yeah.
Beautiful looking burger. If I like mushrooms, I would have been willing to try it. I'm not a huge mushroom fan, but she said it was awesome. She also had some to bring back. I was a good boy. I finished my plate.
Yeah, I mean, you grown. I mean, you had no to go by.
I had a task at hand, and I was able to successfully complete it.
Honestly, I don't know when the last time I got a to-go box was. It's like I'm a walking to-go box. Yeah,
not today.
I'm the to-go box. You feel me? But no, I mean, overall, it was, you know, very solid restaurant. I actually wouldn't mind trying, you know, had their brunch menu. And next time we go back,
we could go 20 times and get something different every single time, each one of us, and never duplicate an order.
We could go back more than that. That menu is massive at Over the Falls and Wake Forest. So I give it a solid 8, 8.5. What about you, Chris? Hey, 8.5, you said?
I say 8.5. And I would say at this point, with as much food as they have, you are guaranteed to find something that you like.
Yeah, and I want to say thank you to the Vector Outdoor Power Equipment there for sponsoring this hour, 3rd and 8 on Next Door Radio and nextdoorradio.com.
See you guys next week.
Absolutely.